football on Off the Ball.
It's a hammer blow for the league in many ways. Damien Duff and Champions League football sounds great together.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. We're going to be speaking to Mark English on the show tonight. The Donegal man has had an unbelievable month, really. In the 800 metres, he's in under 1 minute and 44 seconds, which he's never been able to do at any stage in his career to date until a month ago. And then he did it a second time within 3 weeks after that point. So he's flying it. There's a World Championships this year in Japan. So very, very exciting times for Mark English, who's found himself a new coach. He's trained at altitude for the first time in a number of years. So we'll be catching up with him a little bit later on. Wednesday night rugby with Jerry Thornley and Stuart Barnes is coming up after 8 o'clock. We'll have Vinnie Perth with us in studio to talk football from a League of Ireland perspective and from a Premier League perspective as well. And Mike Quirk will also preview the All-Ireland football quarterfinals. He'll be on at around 9 p.m. this evening. If you want to get in touch, our number on WhatsApp is 0879 180 180. Cathal Mullany is with us in studio. Cathal, how are you doing?
Evening, lads.
Nathan Murphy, how are you doing?
Hey, Owen.
It's your penultimate day before holidays, so we're getting extra fun, extra jovial, Nathan, tonight.
Absolutely.
You were saying before we came on air that we've been theorising, and it's going to be something that we'll do with Jerry and Stuart later on, theorising, you know, why the Lions matters to people, why it's important. And Nathan, I must say, Carl, right before you came in, this brilliant theory, a really interesting one that I hadn't heard before about a certain cohort of Lions fans. I think you should bring it to the nation.
Well, I was blown away on Friday being in town by the sheer number of Lions jerseys. I have never seen a travelling support take over Dublin for any football, rugby game, you name it, everywhere you looked. It was Lions jerseys and the brand new ones that cost about £100. Mm. Everyone was fully kitted out in either the brand new jersey or the polo tops or whatever the sponsor is, was emblazoned everywhere.
Housen.
And then watching the game and the cheers that the English players were getting, it was like a home game for England rather than an Irish-centric audience that were there. And what I'm assuming is happening here, and please do correct me if I'm wrong, listeners.
I think it's Howden, isn't it?
Howden? Yeah, what did you say? Howson?
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
You've ruined my story now. You've ruined my moment. Do you think, Cathal, that what's going on here is that English fans are latching on to the stellar reputations of Irish, Welsh and Scottish fans for, you know, being fun-loving and a bit of crack and enjoying ourselves as we travel the world? And that would not be the impression of English supporters. Certainly not when it comes to football. I'm not quite sure on the rugby element of things. Maybe the reputation is slightly better. But actually, by being Lions supporters, they're welcomed in a way that they wouldn't be if they were wearing a white English jersey.
Interesting theory. So you think they're latching on to the crack of Irish, Welsh and Scottish supporters to some extent?
There's a term for it. It's called Lions washing.
It's beautiful.
We are Lions washing the English.
Beautiful.
I couldn't have put it better. That is a great line.
It's sickening that we're even a part of this to try and cover up for the regime that is English rugby fans.
What is the impression of English rugby supporters around the world? Like, it's obviously a different impression than of English football supporters, where cities are genuinely worried at times when they arrive in. But is there a sense of an arrogance of an English rugby fan if they were in Australia touring?
I don't know. They might not be the only rugby nation who've been accused of arrogance in the last couple of years.
See, this is where I'm probably getting it wrong, that I'm overstating our appeal around the world.
Yeah, like, potentially. I like your theory, and maybe...
Well, it was quite incredible.
Oh, it was. I agree with you, yeah. I'll throw another theory at you. Been keeping a keen eye on the golf as well. What about tradition and the importance of tradition in sport? Where the Lions, how long has the Lions in existence? A long, long time, I will say.
And it was the 1888 Cup.
Yeah.
So
it's a long, long time. So does tradition...
They wouldn't just make up a tradition when it comes to the Lions.
Yeah. So this is a long tradition. Does that have an impact in people following it?
Possibly.
I'm hanging around with the wrong people. I don't know anybody who's going to Australia for the Lions Tour. Socially. who have decided, do you know what, I'm going to spend a month of my life travelling and following this team. But I know lots of people who are already talking about the next Rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
And their eagerness to go and follow that. So is the Lions support predominantly made up of English rugby fans? And maybe that's a natural thing looking at the populations.
Can I say that I considered going to the Lions this year? I was going to go to Australia at some point this year. Then I was like, ah, actually, the weather will be better in April. So
you've got to spend a bit of time at home is what you'd need to be considering. What the hell? How much are they paying you?
I don't really know how to... didn't expect that sort of blowback about my interest in going to Australia for like 3 weeks. But I'm interested in going for the Rugby World Cup in 2027 if anybody's willing to send somebody down there. Because the weather's going to be a little bit better. It's going to be edging towards their spring. Like, nobody wants to be in Australia in winter. June or July.
Yeah. Well, listen, you did a stellar job in Japan, so I hardly recommend that we send you in.
Nice one. Sorted.
Fully,
thank you very much.
Fully deserve that trip. Do you buy into the Lions history?
Yeah, a little bit. I couldn't believe, like you, the amount of people that were around Dublin for the game last week. I think they do a very good job around the whole marketing of it, don't they? Like every 4 years. And the commercial success of the Lions is absolutely unbelievable. I've seen a few articles around that. Like, this only happens every couple of years, but the commercial driver that it is for rugby in these parts is unbelievable.
It's probably on a par with the commercial success of the Ryder Cup. And I do feel that they are the two most aligned sporting events in that. We all want this to go to a third test between the Lions and Australia. We all want it to go right down to the wire, maybe even a draw again. Because ultimately, I just want to be entertained.
Yes.
I don't care who wins this goddamn thing.
Now, the thing is, you want there to be some sort of hero and villain narrative in the middle of it all. You want Patrick Reid to be the heel in all of this so that you want to feel like you're really rooting for Europe. You want there to be a Duncan McRae moment in the Lions so that you feel like there is some incentive for the Lions to actually win this.
Duncan McRae moment, do you think? Some violence?
I feel judged.
Is Ron Nogara going to see this? It wasn't nice for Ron Nogara, but I now hated this guy and I hated everything about this team. Who's Patrick Reid? Joe Schmidt?
Well, I mean, quite possibly. There's been a little over and back. Is it Joseph Suali? Can he like step up and be like the gilded?
What about Patrick Cantley? Didn't wear a hat, isn't that right?
Oh yeah.
So maybe they don't.
When are we finally going to get a Lions player who revolts against the commercialization of this project?
I know.
What about youngest player, English lad, big reception?
Pollock.
Yes, Henry.
Henry.
Henry Pollock. What if he said, "I'm not carrying around this goddamn teddy bear. It's a load of nonsense. Not for me."
Well, of course, as you'll have seen in episode one of the YouTube documentary, it's not a commercial thing at all. It's actually imposed by his teammates. So he'd be letting down the teammates and incurring the fines of Bundy Aki.
There's no sponsor of the toy line. Well, that's a missed opportunity.
I know. What's his name? Bill?
Bill. I think the Lions is going to struggle to keep up with the Ryder Cup this year, though.
Why?
We had John Huggan on Golf Weekly this week, the esteemed golf writer, and we had a victory for USA at the weekend. Keegan Bradley edged out Tommy Fleetwood in a brilliant finale where Fleetwood, who's had 42 top 10s on the PGA Tour and no wins, is cruising to victory until the back nine, and you can see the nerves just get the better of him. He gets incredibly tentative with his putting, but he's still a shot ahead of Bradley on the 18th, and he leaves his approach short. He switches clubs right at the last minute, leaves it on the edge of the green short. Bradley hits it stone cold to what, 5-6 feet? And Fleetwood three putts. Bradley holds his putt. Bradley wins by one. He's given it the USA. John Huggan wasn't impressed with the fact that he had two or three celebrations before he went to commiserate with Tommy Fleetwood.
Didn't really commiserate with him at all.
No, there was no love lost. There was no warmth. The usual warmth of, because they know they've all been in this position. It's
a horrible moment.
It was 1-1 and one lost of here happens all of us. Best of luck. You deserve your victory. It'll come. There was none of that. And he's Team USA captain. And Bethpage is half an hour from Manhattan, and the New York golf fans at the best of times, I think, are raucous is the kind way of putting it. A real sense that this Ryder Cup is going to put the war by the shore in its halfpenny place in terms of the atmosphere and how they're going to try and get at the European players and the abuse that they're going to have to suffer through, and that actually we may be pounding our chests for Team Europe by the end of all this.
Well, you've really sold the Ryder Cup now.
Yeah, that's impressive. It will be great though, won't it? What's going to happen with Keegan Bradley as well? Is he going to play?
He'll play. I think the expectation was that if he was to play, that somebody else would step in. I assumed that Tiger might step in, and that he didn't want all of the nonsense that goes before it and can ride into town and be the hero. I know from Shane Ryan on the Ryan line, he feels that it's unlikely that Tiger wants it at all, and in the position he's in with his injuries and all of that. But Keegan Bradley was implying, I think, that they didn't mention that, you know, Arnold Palmer did it in 1963 and maybe he'll just stay on and be a playing captain, which I was making the suggestion today, if they were to go down that route, because, you know, the captaincy has always been this sort of honour later in your career for a guy in his 40s who's somewhat relevant but not making the team. And USA just didn't seem to have anyone in that age bracket at the time and sort of panicked by giving it to Keegan Bradley because he's sort of a weird American hero, even though I don't think he is. He's not really that relevant in American sporting life, but he gets it. Mm. He was so disappointed to miss out the last time. If it works for America, why wouldn't we have Rory McIlroy as playing captain at Adair Manor?
Against Tiger Woods, the American captain at Adair Manor.
And Tiger playing captain?
No, Tiger will most certainly not be playing a Ryder Cup again.
And in terms of the thread of playing captains, it's obviously bucking the trend considerably.
Oh, it's like Arnold Palmer, I think, was the last playing captain for America in 1963.
Yeah.
So it has become this honorary position.
Yeah.
And Bradley may well end up being the playing captain. Again, it brings to the fore how important is the captaincy really. There's obviously a job you have to do, but if you have a load of vice captains and you've done your prep, surely it all just rolls out then
if you pick yourself, because you leave four players off, don't you, from the foursomes and the four ball. If you pick yourself and you hit it all over the place, I mean, what are the four guys that haven't played going to think?
Like, the upside for Keegan Bradley is enormous, but the downside, if they lose, either way is you should never have been a playing captain, or why didn't you play? No, I think there's no question he's one of the top six, top five American golfers, never mind top 12 right now.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of the best Ryder Cups. This is going to be one for the ages.
And also, because it's your home Ryder Cup as well, it's double embarrassment because you've lost on home soil, which hasn't happened since
Medina,
I was going to say.
And there's a reason they call it a miracle.
Yeah. Question for you. You're trapped in a room. And
I really feel like I am. It's a statement, not a question.
And there's audio being pumped into the room. You've got two channels. Channel one is the audio of golf fans chanting USA, USA, USA. And on the other channel is English rugby fans singing Swing Low. Which channel are you sticking with?
Oh.
You only get one option. On repeat.
Would you find yourself singing along with Swing Low at some stage?
That's the clip. That's
a good stat. Yeah, no. The USA gets very tiresome very quickly.
Throw in a few mashed potatoes there and enough variety for you to listen to that.
Oh, well, I was saying, kids were on about wanting to go to the Irish Open this year and obviously see Rory and see Shane and win the Master. And what are you allowed to shout? Like, can I shout mashed potato? You don't shout. Like, we just don't shout. But like, in their head, it's, oh, what's the coolest thing someone can come up with? And this is what they're all trying to do. So, yeah, we're going to get a lot of mashed potatoes at the Ryder Cup and far, far worse. I think there's going to be a lot of the Sky Sports. Apologies if you heard any language there.
Yeah. If Nathan's kids are listening, please do embarrass your dad and shout whatever you want out in the golf course next time you're there.
USA, USA.
In case you missed this morning's Off the Ball breakfast,
we had this.
I gave it so much for so long. I just knew deep down it was time to go. Even losing the Galway last year, don't get me wrong, I was devastated after the game in Europe. But was it really crushed like it was in other years? I probably wasn't. And I kind of went, that's the time to get out.
And we also had this.
David Clifford goes into that Cavan game and has 13 shots. 13 shots in a game of football. Like, Cavan had 14 shots from play in the entire game. He had more shots in one game than Keen Lynch has had in the entire championship. It's a reflection of the new world order that we're seeing the way Gaelic football is now, and a guy like this is just having the platform to thrive.
Catch up now on the Goal Out app and every weekday morning when Off the Ball Breakfast is live from 7:30 on your OTB social channels.
Right, the news round is coming your way with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. And you are starting with the biggest story in town.
The Lions assistant coach Andrew Goodman is expecting to face a strong Western Force side on Saturday despite an ongoing row over player availability. The tourists have warned host Australia they must field the Wallaby star performers in the warm-up matches before next month's test series. Hooker Matt Faisler and centre Hunter Pissimi have both been released to play for the Reds in next Wednesday's match in Brisbane. Meanwhile, Dan Sheehan says it has been interesting trying to bond with players from other countries on the tour. The Irish hooker spoke to Sky Sports about getting to know players that would usually be opponents on the field of play.
It's interesting, you know, you go from people you're watching preparing for week in, week out, despising in some ways, and then all of a sudden you meet them and they're great blokes, and of course they're great blokes, but like, that's just rugby, you know, you got to be able to turn it on. And I think we've all realised pretty quick that we're all good fellas and we all enjoy each other's company, and I think we've really enjoyed the last few weeks getting to know each other. And it's a big part of what we've tried to focus on over the last couple of weeks, is really sort of buying into us as a group and making sure our connections are tight and we're getting to know each other off field as well as on field. But that's been definitely an enjoyable aspect of it.
He's talking about Ellis Genge here, particularly, who's actually, every time we've dealt with him, like, he was speaking to us when all these pre-tournament things were happening remotely during COVID, before the Heineken Cup, before the Investec Champions Cup, whatever year it was in. And he's always come across as a really, really good guy. Like, whenever you're talking to him, again, you're kind of surprised. Maybe it's the English tag that you start to think yourself, English rugby guys just are all a little bit arrogant or whatever the case may be, but genuinely a really, really good guy. And I think Dan Sheehan has appreciated that this week so far. And he was very, very good on the pitch as well last Friday.
Is there ever any Ryder Cup-esque fallout from a Lions tour? So, you know, Phil Mickelson, character assassination of Tom Watson, or Patrick Reed having a real go at Jordan Spieth. If the Lions go here and lose, do we get a... Well, actually, the problem was...
Oh, yeah.
But I think, remember O'Driscoll, when Brian O'Driscoll was dropped, if they'd lost that day, that would have been...
Gatland on the line, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, we keep going back to it, but I suppose we did invest a lot of time into speaking to Austin Healey and Brian O'Driscoll earlier this year about the 0-1 tour, and he was pretty open about he hates Graham Henry. And, like, the reason why they lost that tour is because of Graham Henry, and just a terrible choice as head coach when Clive Woodward was right there. Now, Clive came in 4 years later and didn't exactly do much better than Graham Henry on the scoreboard. But definitely happens, and I'd say there's, like, as you say, if that had gone a different way, 2013 would be remembered as just an infamous moment. But yeah, we see All in the Game has been in touch on YouTube that they say Lions Tour greater than Ryder Cup, and they've also been in touch again to say golf guy whining about the commercialization of the Lions. Is he aware of the sport he covers for a day job when it comes to selling out to the highest bidder?
How dare you? How dare you? Golf is a charitable exercise. At the PGA Tour, let's not remember, for years, was essentially a charity. Have you not seen them bring the CEO of Shell on to explain when they're sponsoring the tournament, all the goods that they're doing in their community? Outrageous accusation towards the sport of golf.
Will says Lions are just glorified friendlies. John in Limerick has been in touch to say, nah, it was the British Lions for a long time, and the English consider themselves the real British. If they had been in Twickenham, they'd have been singing The Chariot. So there you go. We're sticking with rugby.
Yeah, Munster have confirmed that props Roman Salanoa and Connor Bartley have signed contract extensions with the province. Salanoa has scored 2 tries in 30 appearances for Munster, though he has been sidelined with a knee injury in recent months. Bartley, who joined the province in November of last year, has signed a short-term extension. Meanwhile, the Irish Examiner is reporting that sports psychologist Caroline Currid has joined the Irish rugby coaching setup for their summer matches against Georgia and Portugal. Currid has previously been involved with Munster, as well as several teams in Gaelic games, including the Limerick Hurlers.
We forgot the most famous example of Tom Watson, Phil Mickelson-esque beef in the Lions. We should have beaten the All Blacks 3-0. The coaches have a lot to answer for. Who's that quote from? Irishman?
Brian O'Driscoll?
No, September 2017.
Johnny Sexton?
No, he was speaking at his home club when he gave this explosive interview on the side of the pitch. I think, actually, Oisín Langan was working for us at the time and spoke to him at the time. The Tullow Tank, Sean O'Brien. Remember Sean O'Brien versus Warren Gatland?
Oh, yes.
The beef is real. Warren Gatland then goes on a off-the-ball roadshow with Jer and hits back at Sean O'Brien in pretty famous circumstances.
Essentially, the answer to my question is, yes, this does happen, and all of it's happened on off the ball, and somehow I've missed it.
Yeah. The coaches and the backroom staff worked their absolute bollocks off on the tour, and to have someone come out and make a comment like that, it really did hurt, said Gatland. It took a bit of the gloss off. My first reaction that if he wanted to say something, there was a forum for that. So he wasn't overly happy with Sean O'Brien. So yes, plenty of examples, it turns out, of coaches and players turning on one another in the Lions tour.
I really like the Lions, I should point out.
Yeah.
This one, again, because you can just get fully invested for the three games, and it's not really going to affect post, you know, 1 o'clock on a Saturday as to what happens. But, and I like the who's going to be in the team and, you know, fantasy lines and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I'll buy into all that nonsense.
Just to clear that up for anybody who wanted to pay you for a commercial gig or anything.
I really picked the wrong enemy here, didn't I? The most commercial gig going for the summer. Where Owen is, I would have travelled off my own bat and paid my own money for this. That's my deep love.
I still will. I will go now. I will wrap this slot up right now and get Nathan to do the rest of the show. And I will fly now if anybody will sponsor such a thing. Where do you want to go next, Colin?
We could do what we did at the World Cup and send you a hitchhiking to Australia.
On to football next. Waterford have been formally sanctioned by the FAI following a racist incident towards a Shamrock Rovers player by a supporter last month. The incident happened during the side's league meeting. At the RSC on the 16th of May, Waterford say they will remain in close support with An Garda Síochána as an investigation takes place. Meanwhile, some news on the transfer front today. Off the Ball understands Galway United striker Moses Dyer has left the club. It's understood he could be set for a move to Cambodia. Dyer is the league's top scorer with 10 goals in the men's Premier Division this season, but was sent off in Galway United's defeat to Sligo Rovers on Monday night. He joined the Tribesmen in January from Vancouver. Derry City have been busy today as well. They've confirmed the signing of Scottish midfielder Adam Frizzell, who has joined the club from Airdrieonians. The 27-year-old has agreed an 18-month contract. He'll be available for selection after July the 1st, and the news of his signing comes off the back of the departure of Dom Thomas, who has left the Brandywell after just 6 months to join Ayr United on a 2-year deal.
On the Moses Dyer news, we'll chat to Vinny about this in greater depth a little bit later on. He's off to Phnom Penh Crown, I believe is the name of the club in Cambodia, so that he can be a bit closer to home and play in a World Cup next year.
Yeah, he's already played for New Zealand, and New Zealand have a chance of qualifying, so you can understand that. I think it was always a clause in his contract that this was a possibility, but what an impression he made in a short time. Lots of goals and lots of spectacular goals, and he's definitely going to be in cult hero status in 5-10 years with what he's done over the past few months. And you would trust Galway United that with their scouting network and the type of players they've brought in, that they'll be able to keep reinforcements. It's just very disappointing that, like, this time last year they lost their left back Kazim, who was probably the best left back in the league, to go to Pats, and, you know, hasn't featured at all for Pats. Now Moses Dyer, you wonder, there's a lot of speculation about the right back Asua, who's maybe been the best right back in the league this season. It's just so hard for Galway, when they unearth these talents, to keep them and let them blossom and, you know, try and force themselves into Europe. So yeah, it's an enormous blow for Galway, for the league, to lose top scorer, manager of champions, all in a few days.
Yeah, for sure. Patrick's been in touch to ask, is the crappy quiz on tomorrow? It certainly is. Tomorrow at 9 p.m. on the radio, it'll be available on podcast at some stage tomorrow as well. I believe it's going to be Jer versus Nathan. Whoever's up against them stands no chance whatsoever, but I believe it's going to be me in the mix with them. So if I were to win tomorrow, that would be one of the greatest achievements in the history of...
No, I'm in holiday mode, so I'm not expecting anything.
Yeah, feet up. Is what Nathan's saying. Where do you want to go next? The under-21s?
Yeah, Lee Carsley's England have beaten the Netherlands in their semi-final at the European Under-21 Championships. They won by 2-1 this evening. Harvey Elliott scored twice there for England. That match took place in Bratislava, where there were temperatures of 34 degrees Celsius. The second semi-final is between Germany and France, and that gets underway at 8 o'clock.
Adam Lallana has retired.
He has. He's announced his retirement from football today. The midfielder ends his career where it began, at Southampton, after rejoining them last season. He won the Champions League and a Premier League title with Liverpool before moving to Brighton. Championship side QPR have appointed Frenchman Julian Stéphane as their new head coach. The former Rennes and Strasbourg boss replaces Marty Cifuentes, who left the club by mutual consent yesterday. The Spaniard had been placed on gardening leave for 8 weeks due to interest from other clubs. Neymar has extended his contract with Santos until the end of this year. Brazil's record goal scorer has been back at his boyhood club since leaving Saudi Pro League side Al Hilal in January.
Sum up Adam Lallana's career for us there, Nathan.
Nice.
Nice career.
Lovely footballer. Always came across as a very pleasant chap. Someone who probably got the most out of his talent. Got the move at the right time. a player that Klopp clearly trusted massively. Yeah, I think a really solid innings on.
Yeah, like it's what's the tournament where he was essential for England? Was it 2018 or was it 2016?
Because 2016 was sort of his best football. I don't know if anybody came out of Euro 2016 for England sort of with their reputation enhanced. Then I think by 2018 he was kind of gone. So maybe he was the Keith Andrews at Euro 2012 for England at Euro 2016.
There you go. We will be speaking about Keith Andrews next with Vinnie Perth, who's waiting to come into studio. Colin Mullany, thank you for tonight's news round. Nathan, thank you.
The news round on Off the Ball
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.